than murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Purple Friday. Hopefully you're listening to this on Purple Friday. Maybe you're listening to this on Purple Saturday. Who knows? But welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Guys, we know this show is a little late this week. Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, happy Purple Friday, regular season edition, man, we made it.
That's right. So Josh and I actually recorded last Tuesday, and we had some technical problems. There was a big storm rolling through Baltimore at the time. So we recorded a show, and I listened to it back, and I said, you know what? Josh and I talked about it, and I checked in with him. It wasn't up to the call quality that you guys are used to. So we scrapped that show, decided to wait until Friday to talk about the Ravens closer to game time. And hopefully you guys are okay with that, and you get to hear a little bit more about the upcoming game from us. So sorry for the delay, but here we go. It is Purple Friday preview. Before we get into the Ravens-Bengals game, let's talk about the preseason a little bit. Josh, overall, how do you think this team did in the four preseasons game? Obviously, they went undefeated, which was great. But as we always say, the score doesn't really matter that much in preseason. What were your thoughts on the team?
My thoughts were, I think we gelled well, man. I mean, the starting defense is going to be a force. If what we had a taste of in the preseason, I think what's going to happen here is you're going to see the defense really shine, especially if they stay healthy. That's the focal point right now. We already know we went draft heavy on defense. The offense was really hard to get a grasp because, as we know, number five wasn't there. And a lot of the starters really played sparingly, and the line's been shuffled. So I'm going to not really focus on the offense, but we know with the first-team defense. We know what they did against the Redskins. We know they won all four games and what they did in the first 2 weeks. You know, not that we're counting here, but they were – pretty much the number one defense in preseason starting-wise and for the starting unit. That's where I think we're going to get back down to our bread and butter, which is defense here in Baltimore, man. And that's what it stood out to me most in these four games.
Dude, I am so excited to see this defense in a regular season game coming up. Let me ask you, did you see this in preseason? We know what goes on last year with the defense. They had a hard time finishing games. They got tired really quick. We saw that firsthand with that Pittsburgh game on Christmas, where the defense gets winded. They have trouble playing a full 60 minutes and being out on the field for that long. Do you think, from what we've seen in preseason, the Ravens have addressed that problem?
Absolutely, man. I think they have addressed it to the fullest extent if they can. I mean, as far as relatively staying healthy, I mean, we've seen the troops coming in and out and with the roster cuts and who's left on the team. But I think overall, they've done a great job coaching staff-wise and players managing that. I think overall, cohesively with the team, it's bringing everything together from front to back. I think they know how to take care of their bodies. They know what's at stake. And I feel that with the rash of all the injuries and all the focal point on that in the mini camps and what's been happening, I think this preseason they definitely taken care of. I mean, there's no major injuries on defense. The offense stayed relatively healthy. I mean, you look at across the league, man. Julian Edelman went down with a knee injury. He had a lot of people with injuries, and it happened in the season opener of the NFL season. So, I mean, no matter what, whether you guys play or not in the preseason or play these guys in the regular season, it's going to happen. I feel like the Ravens have kept it very to a minimum, whatever they're doing.
Is there a rookie that you've been overly excited about, that you were impressed with what we've seen from the first four preseason games? Is there just looking at the preseason, who do you think would be like your rookie of the year just based off of those four games?
I'm going to say Tyus Bowser, man. He was a force in the first game against the Redskins. Couldn't say enough great things about the kid. Right now, I would say Tyus Bowser gets a nod because Humphrey didn't really play in most of the games.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, Tyus Bowser, he's obviously going to be just like a wrecking ball. I can't wait to see what he does in a regular season game.
And I'm telling you, man, you're right. I think what's going to happen, you're going to see him really come into his own and shine. I know I was high on Za'Darius Smith a couple years ago, but I really feel Tyus Bowser fits the mold. It's that name. It's getting back down to what we know, Ravens defense and being a star linebacker, and I really think he's got what it takes.
All right, so of course the Ravens had to get down to that 53-man roster. There were a lot of roster cuts. We did see kind of fan favorite from the preseason, Josh Woodrum. He was let go, picked up, I think, by Cleveland, and I think he's already been waived by them. So, I mean, it's been a quick turnaround for Josh. Other guys have been let go. Keenan Reynolds, one of them. Jeremy Zuta, Lorenzo Taliaferro. All these guys are gone. Is there any cuts that you were surprised about? You just didn't see coming? You thought they were going to make the opening day roster?
Yeah, man. I was actually surprised to see Woodrum go over Mallett. I mean, we all know he had his bright spot. So did Mallett. I mean, both players had their ups and downs this preseason. Both aren't really starting quarterback NFL caliber, but for fitting in for, you know, a week or two, or if there's a major injury, I felt like Josh Woodrum had the best of the worst tangibles. I felt like Ryan Mallett had the so-called happy feet. It looked like a reincarnation of Kyle Bowler out there. But Mallett knows the offense, and Josh Woodrum doesn't. So I feel like the Ravens made that decision solely based on, hey, he's been there. He's even beaten the Steelers before. He knows, and I feel like they just went for the comfort level of that.
I got to say, I am a little shocked that Jeremy Zuta was let go completely because, you know, we did trade him away to San Francisco. So obviously there were some problems that the Ravens wanted to address. And then they brought him back because he was waived by the 49ers and there were some injuries they weren't expecting. I don't know. Does this show more of a faith in Ryan Jensen more than anything? Because the way I look at it is this offensive line especially, is kind of being like kept together with duct tape, and you know, a lot of these guys are going down rather quickly. Would it have been a better move to keep Jeremy Zuta on, even maybe in like a practice squad role, if he can even go there, just to have the depth for the O-line? Because Ryan Jensen right now, he could move over to, you know, a tackle position instead of being at center. So if somebody else were to go down, what do you think?
I think you have the right motive there. I mean, you're seeing the shuffling along the line, and that's where it's going to come into play, bro. It's, you're going to see players going in and out. I think Jensen should have the starting. I mean, we already know the 53-man roster set, but I feel like he should be there. And I really feel like, you know, with Howard, with Yondo, the All-Pro, with Stanley, this is really going to come into play with the line, and you're going to see us grow. And I feel like this is the best line that's suitable for what we need and protecting Flacco. I don't see any glaring weaknesses or flaws. I say, why is he on the line? We know that James Hurst, and we know how I feel about him. You know, he's the one that led that guy pretty much by and hit Flacco's knee. But I feel, granted, it's, you get it. You know, it's defense wins championships. Offenses, you know, hold mold to that too as well for that championship formula. But we've already know in discussing you and my passion is the game's really won and lost in trenches. And I feel like with the linemen, if I was an NFL player, especially an NFL lineman, I would take pride in protecting. And I know with defenses and pass rushes, yeah, you like to make big plays, but I feel like, you know, on defense, you would take pride in going after the quarterback and stopping them. Offensive linemen, man, they got the biggest job and the biggest responsibility, because not only do you have to perform well and stop the other defense from coming, but you have to protect your biggest and one of the biggest assets on the team and his own well-being. And that's a big undertaking, a big responsibility. And I feel like as an NFL lineman, they're undervalued and underrated, man. How many times, as I've always said, NFL, look in the trenches. If we're holding the blocks, if we're holding, you know, the blocks for the lanes for the runner to go, if we're holding blocks for the throw, or the quarterback to throw, it's going to work out in a well well ingrained formula. And I feel like NFL linemen and what we have, I feel like on paper, apart from maybe the Super Bowl squad where we had Burke and McKinney, I feel like this is probably one of the best lines we've had. I know we've had Ben Grubbs. I know we've had Jonathan Ogden. But in coming through the ranks, I really feel like this group can get it done.
And I hope they do. I think only time will tell with this group. And they have a big test coming up against Cincinnati, week one. This is one of the first times I remember the Ravens going on the road to Cincinnati to open up a season. Usually it's the other way around, and Cincinnati will come to Baltimore first. But it's interesting that we're going there first. So I'm kind of intrigued to see how this team will do as a whole, as the 53-man roster, because not only are they starting the season – but they're starting on the road, which the Ravens have kind of shown that they're not the greatest on the road.
No, and I've always felt that this is a bad formula. I mean, we already know the ghost that we have to exercise in Cincinnati. I'm happy that it's not the back end of the schedule. How many times – it felt like it's been the last 10 years, man, that the Ravens have really played in the last game of the year. Has it not?
Yeah, I think so.
It feels like it. So it's kind of a refresher, but here's the funny thing. The league has us ending with them here. They're giving us the home game, but then we start with them. So it's kind of like, haha, well, if you don't want to end there, we'll start you there, but we'll end you there, you know, home and home. But it's kind of great. You know, we bookend with Cincinnati in the division, and we already know the first three out of four games are, you know, against the division, two at home with a game at Wembley there thrown in there and the London trip in a few weeks, which is awesome. We can't wait to cover that in full force. But what this really sets up for is – and I really hate to just go out on a limb, but I really hate to, you know, be the bearer of bad news and be the bearer of, man, you're already starting doom and gloom. But I feel like our chances are slim. I'm not saying like, oh, this is a, you know, a 90-10 percentage that the Bengals have here, man. But just level with me for a second. We already just talked about the Ravens haven't won there in the last 6 or 7 years. It feels like, I think, since 2010, since we won a game in Cincinnati. And I feel like it's always either playing for stakes to get into the playoffs, or we already have the division locked up and we're just playing and resting stars. And I remember how it ended last year. Now, we lost the Pittsburgh game. We actually, if we'd have won the Pittsburgh game, we would have to win in Cincinnati to get into the playoffs. So it was kind of like a playoff game. We lost in Pittsburgh. We know the outcome. And it was Steve Smith's last game. So it's kind of like bittersweet how we know how Steve Smith's career ended here in Baltimore, and our season ended there. And then now we're starting a brand new fresh season there again. Right back in the same scene. So pretty much virtually the same team with a few new additions on either both sides of the ball. But I feel like, number one, you know, we haven't won there. Flacco hasn't been practicing much. We don't know what he's doing on the back end, man, but we feel like we haven't really seen that. He's got a gel with Maglin, and we just feel that with getting up to speed, and if Flacco's health is a concern, I feel like this is a perfect storm for the Ravens to really lose this game. Now, what I feel like this will be is a close contested game with an AFC North matchup. Teams are very familiar with each other. It's pride. Neither team wants to start out 0-1, pretty much 0-1.5, because it's a divisional game. And you want that leg up for a tiebreaker, get that division win. You want to take care of that business in the North. But everything just screams Cincinnati here. But again, I feel like if the Ravens defense shines like they've been doing all preseason long, man, this is going to be a difference maker. And if they can, you know, and you've seen a preseason, which I've been very, very applauding, is the batted balls, getting your hands up, getting them big paws up, and timing the throws. And you almost have to believe maybe Andy Dalton's going to counter that with a few pump fakes. So that's something to look out for. We already knew A.J. Green's a Raven killer, man. He reminds me of what Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardle used to do for Jacksonville back in the day. It's these guys just own us. And I don't know why. And A.J. Green just seems like the big play. He had a big play a couple years ago with the Hail Mary. He just seems to get that weird big play, and I feel like we have to contain him to really hone in on a win on defense. So it's going to be tough. It's an uphill battle for sure.
Yeah, it is. And you brought up Joe Flacco, and I think we definitely got to spend a lot of time talking about him. He missed the last 5 weeks of practice, no preseason games. He's had 1 week, really, to you know, get used to Maclin and some of these new guys. What do you think of Joe? Joe came out and he had he talked to the media a day or two ago, and he was very confident. He goes, when we go into Cincinnati and we win, You know, and then he can kind of continued on, but he has no doubt that he has the ability to win this game. So how do you think Joe is going to do week one? I mean, this is his first time playing football since January and having any kind of real contact. So what do you think? Is Joe going to be successful? Is he going to be able to gel with these guys that quick, or is this just going to be an uphill battle for him?
No, I think Joe's going to be very successful. It's going to be a mix. I'm going to say he's going to be successful with the addition of the uphill battle, but I say he's going to be successful in getting this as a stepping stone to get number one healthy, but not only learn the offense, not that he doesn't need to know it, but we have new additions. We have some subtractions with no Kamar Egan, with no Steve Smith, no Anquan Boldin of years past, and now we have a Mike Wallace in the second year. We have Jeremy Maclin. We need to get these guys involved. He has no outlet Dennis Pitta no more. You have to remember that, Brandon. So that's another thing I'm concerned about. Will he gel? Ben Watson's is technically his second year, but this is his first year of, you know, healthy, so he'll be on the field. So I feel like you have to watch out for Ben Watson. Is Nick Boyle going to be there? We already know Nick Boyle's got the offense down. We know Max Williams can perform. It's just a matter of can Joe, you know, not only be protected by his line, but is his mobility in check? Is he able to, you know, have that range? I mean, we remember Joe Flacco's first game against the Bengals as a Raven ended up being a home game. It just seems like, you know, the Ravens and Bengals have these big spotlight games for some reason. Not every team in the AFC North does. But we remember Joe Flacco's pretty much first touchdown was a rushing touchdown against the Bengals, took up sideline. And we know he's mobile. But with the knee injury coming off full year off of that, now with this stupid back issue, it's just another thing to add to the list where can he have that Joe Flacco mobility that we're used to seeing where, hey, if he's in the pocket, get out, you know, run, you know, make a move, you know, do what Ben Roethlisberger does, make a play, stretch the field, you know, extend the play. And I feel like that's going to be a big X factor because the Bengals will be coming after him. But then again, they don't have two of their players on defense because of troublemakers, apparently, Pat Mann Jones and Vonte Perfect. So we're happy that they're not going to be present.
Yeah, and there's one guy that you brought up, and you said Joe's not going to have kind of like that. Joe's not going to have that like safety net that he once did with Dennis Pitta and Kyle Juszczyk. He's gone too. But there's one name you haven't brought up yet. That's Danny Woodhead. And I do want to bring him up because this is going to be his first time playing as a Raven. And a lot of people out there, the NFL Network, some of the podcasters for the Ravens themselves, are saying that Danny Woodhead's going to have probably his biggest year he's ever had. And that he's going to be like Joe's new security blanket. So, again, the two of them have not played at all together in the preseason or in training camp, really. So what do you think? Are we going to see these guys – are we going to see Joe kind of favor Danny Woodhead for this first game maybe?
Absolutely. You know we're the Checktown Charlie offense, right?
Sure.
Yeah, we know it. And I feel that he's going to be a big focal point. Here's why. No Kenneth Dixon, no hard-bruised running back. Terrence West can get it done, but he's also little and he's also fragile. Like not the same fragile, he gets hurt, but he's not that big. Jamal Lewis, pound the ball, Marshawn Lynch, game, Brock, Le'Veon Bell. He's Terrence West, and Terrence West is our first option. And then you have Danny Woodhead. And Danny Woodhead, this is where I'm very curious to see how they use him because – if it gets very vanilla and very predictable, where if we're sitting here at home or watching at the bars, wherever we may be, if we're there live and making the road trip, and we see Danny Woodhead lined up, and every time we do, it's either trying to go to him or it's a passing play, that can't happen. They can't be too predictable because we know Woodhead's a passing back threat. But and if you look, and we'll definitely cover this at the end, obviously we'll get to what happened last night with the season opener. But and I know you say you didn't watch it, but If anybody recalls how New England uses their running backs, and I told my dad this, I'm like, it's like a, and even Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels calling the game, they were like, it's pretty much running back by committee, or and Chris Collinsworth joked and said panel, basically, because it's they're always doing something. Whatever scheme or whatever package they have a certain running back in there. You know, with the Patriots, it was James White if they were running up the gut. Mike Gillespie had all the goal line carries, which LeGarrette Blount used to have. So I feel like if you look at that formula, the Ravens can't get too predictable. They have to use, you know, both backs accordingly in passing and rushing situations. I feel like Danny Woodhead, if healthy, is going to be a huge impact because 2 years ago, 2015, he caught 80 receptions as a running back. So that's 80 receptions. You're talking about Antonio Brown, who has four straight seasons of 100-plus receptions. He's 20, a little bit 20 or maybe 25 receptions behind the best receiver in the league. Just think about that. If he's utilized correctly, he could be a great weapon for this offense.
And I hope he is, and I hope Danny Woodhead can stay healthy. But a lot of people are putting their eggs in the Danny Woodhead basket, and I'm still thinking about whether or not he can make it through the entire season. I mean, could make it through preseason, and he's coming off an ACL injury. So I don't know. I don't think that he's worked with an offense quite like the Ravens, and you know it might be a breath of fresh air for him. He might do really well, but. Obviously, the Ravens running game has to be better than last year. I think Joe led the league in passing attempts last year because there was little to no running game this past season, and you know we saw an offensive coordinator leave because they weren't using the running game correctly, and we didn't really see it improve when he left. So let me ask you, do you think that this three-man running back tandem that we're going to have this year of Danny Woodhead, Terrence West, and Buck Allen, that they're going to be able to improve what we saw from last year? I mean, you just talked about Danny Woodhead, and if used correctly, he could definitely light the world on fire. But, maybe let's just stick to week one up against the Bengals defense. What do you think? Are they going to be successful against the Bengals in Cincinnati?
Dude, I believe so. I believe that the success will be there. I believe they're going to get the job done. I really think so. And, I mean, if you recall some of the preseason matchups we've had, some of the running game's been there. Terrence West had a great showing in preseason game number one. Now, I'm not sitting here singing his praises and bowing down to it, but it was good enough for me to say, hey, the line stays where it is, and Terrence West, he's going to have a great year. And I don't fault anybody who's going to be lining up in the backfield to think otherwise that they're going to have a great year or whoever who touches the ball. But we have to have a correct ratio of pass to run because we can't throw it 60 times a game, and we sure can't run it 40 times a game. So I feel like a good balance here, maybe 40 throws, 25 rushes, depending if we can get an average of 60 to 70 plays per game, depending on how the pace goes. But I feel like the running game, they have to – to keep that in check, because if they overuse their backs, if they're not conditioned, or if we have a thin running back situation and becomes, or if one goes down with injury or fatigue or whatever it may be, we have to be cognizant of that. And I feel like the Ravens will get the job done. They'll know how to correctly use them. I believe Marty. And another thing, we're forgetting is Greg Roman. Greg Roman was brought in here to infuse life into the running game. And I remember, what was it, a year and a half ago, we are claiming for Harbs to run the ball. Every press conference goes, no, we're going to run the ball. Because how many times we're at a third and one situation or a third and goal, and we're trying to throw it like we're Peyton Manning's offense? Keep it simple, run the ball. And then every time he goes, no, we're going to run the ball, it's time. And we need to have a commitment. And the Ravens need to stick to their game plan.
Yeah, absolutely they do. And let's delve a little bit more into Joe Flacco and Jeremy Maclin. It was great to see Joe on the field, on the practice field at least, just a couple days ago. I guess actually it was about a week ago. He showed up around last Saturday, and immediately him and Joe and Jeremy Maclin started working on reps. Now nothing is going to beat that in-game experience, like just going out there and doing it. But what do you think against Cincinnati? Will Joe and Jeremy Maclin work well together? The Bengals defense is pretty good, so they're going to have some trouble here. But Joe has what, three wide receivers that he can throw to: Maclin, Wallace, and Perryman. I guess out of those three, who do you think is going to have the best game on Sunday?
I actually think it's going to be it's tough. If Perryman stays healthy, he's going to be an X factor. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he has the best game. I'm going to say Mike Wallace, and here's why. Just taking game number one alone, with Flacco coming back in game one, I feel like it's Mike Wallace stepping up because, number one, had a big year last year with us. He's familiar with Flacco. Flacco's not that familiar with Maclin yet.
Yeah.
Now, not to say what happened this past Thursday with the rookies and the sophomores that shone for the Kansas Chiefs, they can get some big plays. Not to say Maclin won't. If he gets a 70, 60-yard touchdown or whatever it may be, great. if Perryman can show what he did against the Dolphins last year, take a screen pass to the house and show the speed and take some sideline passes. But I feel like of the three staying healthy, it's going to be Mike Wallace starting off.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think Mike Wallace is going to definitely be Joe's target for the majority of the game just because they do work well together and they already know that. Jeremy Maclin definitely is coming in at a disadvantage right now in the regular season because of the fact that him and Joe have not had that in-game experience at all. So I think I think Joe's injury is affecting the entire offense, especially bringing in a guy like Maclin. But maybe we'll see in week maybe 3-4 the two of them kind of gelling a little bit better together. But I really think this first game, I mean, it sucks because, like you said, three out of the first four is against division opponents. These guys got to bring their A game immediately. I mean, these games mean more than you would believe. We'll see what happens with Maclin and Joe. I'm hoping that the two will eventually gel, but it's definitely going to take time. How long did it take for Joe and Perryman last year to start gelling together? What, they didn't really feel like they were working well together until what, like December? It's going to take some time, I guess.
It's always going to take time, especially, you know, we look at from his rookie year to now and he's grown. It's going to take time no matter what. And we're not saying that, you know, these guys aren't going to get involved. They're not going to get big plays. Definitely not. But obviously, it goes without saying, when it's someone new you're working with, it takes a little bit to see, you know, how's Maclin run routes? Does he stop on time? Is he going to be there when Flacco delivers the ball? Does he get the offense? Obviously, he's an all-pro. He gets it. He wouldn't be thrust in there if he didn't. And the coaches didn't feel like he was ready. He's a seasoned veteran, and he's going to get the job done regardless. I'm excited to see what he brings, being that he's still a great playmaker. I mean, his playmaking ability is going to be great with him and Wallace and that Perryman. If can stay healthy, this triple threat of the receiving core that we have will prove. And I feel like if healthy, again, that's the onus, man. You know, forget the whole motto together and what the Ravens have going on this year. I feel like it's just be if healthy, because if Flacco's healthy, we're going places. If Perryman's healthy, we're going. If the defense can stay healthy, because, I mean, we've had a rash of injury. He's, you know, worse than I've ever seen it in recent years, and it just can't happen, man. And it's happening league wide. But I feel like right now, the way this game's shaping up, obviously we know the rookie Joe Mixon. We have to stop him. We know again what AJ Green brings. They have another three-headed monster because they can mix Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard as their running backs. We know what Andy Dalton brings to the table. We already covered that their defense is missing some parts. That's going to be the difference maker. If we can find holes in that defense, I feel like we can have our way there. This is going to come down to that great AFC North matchup. This has a feeling of that 3-7 point or maybe even a 10-point game. I'll be shocked if this is a blowout. Actually, I'm calling the Bengals winning this one by a score of 21-17. I hope my boys prove me wrong. We can't go 16-0. Got to lose some, got to win some. But I feel like the Ravens, the way it's bouncing back, I feel like this team could be 3-1 looking at the first quarter of the season and just previewing the first chunk. 3 out of 4 against the division, going to Wembley. Let's say we lose this game, Brandon. I feel like we can get our home opener with a win or a revenge against the Browns. Go to Wembley. Let's beat Jacksonville. Come home against the Steelers, emotional. And I think we get that done too, a home game. So I feel like it's setting up for a 3-1 start. You know, started with a loss 3 in a row. I'd like to see how that plays out, man. But that's kind of where I'm going with this and not looking ahead and getting too far into the season. But I just want to take it in chunks and starting it at – since we're starting the first game of the year in the first quarter, I want to do something new this year. Instead of doing the whole season, going through the gamut of 16 games, how about this? How about let's just do that? Let's take it quarter by quarter, game by game, just like we do anytime. In a football game, you take it minute by minute, quarter by quarter. But let's just look at the first quarter alone. Now, I feel like taking Cincinnati, we just, you know, we previewed that on the Purple Friday preview. And I feel like that's my predictions going forward. Now, obviously, they're going to change if we have injuries or what may happen. But and we'll get that as a closer. Maybe I'll stick to my predictions, maybe not. But I feel like right now, that's a good assessment.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. But let's talk a little bit more about the Cincinnati game. Let's talk a little bit more about the defense real quick. You know, we talked about how good this defense looks, and a lot of people are already predicting that the Ravens are going to have the number one defense of the entire NFL or maybe even the AFC. But locally here in Baltimore, the big question is with this defense, How do they compare to the 2000 defense? That's always been a big question, even in the offseason when all those draft moves happened and it was all defense. How is this team going to compare to the 2000 year? And after the preseason, there are a lot of people, especially people that I work with or that I'm friends with, and they said, oh, this team's going to be as good, if not better, than the 2000 team. For me, I would love for this team to be better, on the same level, if not better, than the 2000 team. However, I don't think we've seen enough of this team yet. Maybe, like you said, after the first four games, let's reassess how they're going to look compared to the 2000 team. But what is your thought on this defense? Obviously, this defense looks great, but how do they compare, or can you compare, to the 2000 team?
You know what I think? I think they're the 2017 defense. How's that? Can't compare. Cannot. It's kind of unfair for every defense that comes after that because it's like, what do you do now? How do you follow that up? Because it's so good. And if you look at it, any defense is going to be in the shadow of that. And it's a fair assessment. It's no different than when it's going to happen when you see it now. You know, it's where Peyton Manning is going to retire. It's the same thing with now Favre retired, Aaron Rodgers. We know Aaron Rodgers is great and another future Hall of Famer, but Aaron Rodgers, same thing. Will he fit in the shoes of Favre? That's big shoes to fill him. He's done it. I feel like with that defense, unless this 2017 squad gives up only 150 points for this year total through 16 games, and they shut some people out, and they go 12-4, 13-3, or whatever it may be, and they make the playoffs and win the whole thing, I feel like then they can make a case. But here's the thing, man, and I want to just level with you here, bro. Remember the Chicago Bulls, 72-10? They won the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember what the Warriors did, one better, 73-9. Did they win the title? It was the epic collapse. I don't know if you know. Epic collapse, 3-1. Obviously, the Warriors up 3-1 in Cleveland. We already know Cleveland won that game and won the NBA title. And I look at it this way. You don't remember 73-9 because they lost the title. We don't remember the Patriots' undefeated season. Why? Because the Giants beat them in the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. Yeah, they went undefeated in the regular season. That's great. No one's going to ever do that again because the Dolphins had two games less. And I feel like 16-0 is really difficult to do. But in living in the shadow and bringing this all in, no, they're not going to compare to 2000 Ravens. That defense was so dominant that they went through four playoff games and led off one offensive touchdown, and that was to the Tennessee Titans in the divisional round. They beat the Broncos 21-3 at home. They beat the Titans 24-10. They beat the Raiders 16-3, and that was a high-powered offense. I think that it's statistically that year, that was a number one offense. Then a Giants team who had a 5-touchdown performance by Kerry Collins in the NFC title game 2 weeks prior to Super Bowl, they hold that offense to 0 offensive touchdowns, running or passing. The only lone score of that game for the Giants came on a kickoff return. We know how that was. That was special teams. So you figured collectively, the Ravens, that defense gave up 2 total touchdowns in 4 playoff games, holding 2 people to 3 points respectively, or 2 teams respectively. So that's hard to do. They shut out 4 teams in that year out of 16. That's hard to do. That's 25% of your games, and you shut out your opponent. 165 total games. Do you know what that point averages out to be?
What's that?
That's an average of 10.3 points per game. Beat that. I say to the 2017 Ravens, do something extraordinary like that. Go win an NFL title. Then we can sit there and talk. You know what? You're all better with the 2000 Ravens. Some of the defense that are not in that discussion, obviously we know the Seahawks, who won Super Bowl 48. The Seahawks are up there because they absolutely dismantled the Denver Bronco offense, and we know what they did on their way. 85 Bears is always in discussion. And the 2002 Buccaneers, everybody forgets about them. They had a great year as well. But I feel like the 2000 Ravens, you know, yeah, I'm biased maybe, but they were just so dominant. And I don't think it was the same way. You weren't running the ball. And how many defenses through the ranks – I got to go back because I think we've had like 2 or 3 stints of this record happening, but how many games in a row did we have not allowed a 100-yard rusher? It was like we went sometimes 4 seasons before that happened. I mean, do that. Stop the run. Make them one-dimensional. Obviously, we had Ray. We had Ed Reed. We had Terrell Suggs. I mean, we still have Suggs still, but that was in his prime. We know Suggs is on his last legs here, but do that. And it's good to bring it up. It's great debate, but I'd say the 2000 Ravens are in a shelf in a trophy case of their own, and then there's everybody else for as far as our franchise. It's the same. I feel like any quarterback that comes in after Joe Flacco, he's no Flacco. Well, he didn't do what Flacco did. There's always that measuring stick. It's almost like that little brother. Well, I can't measure up to him. I'm never going to be anything. No, you got to be the best you. I say Ravens, go out and be the best 2017 Ravens squad. Be the whole in the NFL. Let's be the best 2017 defense this year. Let's be the best we can be. We got Tony Jefferson. We have Eric Weddle. We have a Terrell Suggs. We have a C.J. Mosley. We have a Brandon Williams. Let's go out and be the best squad that we can be. You know, and let's lay that to rest. The 2000 defense is special. It was special because of what they did. And I feel like it's a great debate, but I feel like it takes away that, hey, how's this team compared to 2000? Well, they're never going. In my eyes, no defense is ever going as far as our franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to talk about, but it's different eras, different people. I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, let's talk about the 2017 defenses maybe at the end of the year, and then we'll figure that out. So, sticking with defense real quick, I do want to bring up the Bengals were expected to not have that rookie receiver John Ross, but
actually, run that Star Wars kick.
Apparently,
that's not till December. We're in September. We haven't played a game yet. Let's not speed it up, man.
All right.
I know you're anxious. I know you just saw it. I know you're wound up, but let's concentrate on September 1st. Justice League ain't even out yet.
So. All right. I'll wait it out. But John Ross, rookie. He's a rookie receiver, John Ross. He actually looks like he will be playing. He's listed as questionable and it isn't, and he came back to practice for a little bit. So, if he does come back, he was picked number 9 overall. How is that going to affect how the defense prepares for the Bengals?
Well, it affects it somewhat, but you don't cater your game plan around a John Ross. You cater around an AJ Green. And what Andy Dalton can do in throwing the ball. But he's going to be an X factor. I mean, he's got speed. We know what he's capable of. They got Joe Mixon, the rookie running back. They're dangerous, man. And I feel like if we take him lately, can end up what happened with the Patriots, man. And we'll cover that at the end of the show. But Kareem Hunt had as great as a debut as a rookie as I've ever seen it. And it could be lightning in a bottle for them. And we've seen what Ezekiel Elliott can do last year as a rookie. And we see what David Johnson can do. And it's just, you don't want to take these guys lightly. Just because there's no NFL game film, just because you haven't played against them before, doesn't mean you discount them, because they're wide open. You miss a tackle, they're going to make us pay and they're going to make us look silly. But John Ross is quick, and so is a Mixon. And I feel like the Bengals are going to do everything they can to get these guys in the mix.
And I'm glad you brought up Joe Mixon, because I was watching a clip from Good Morning Football from the NFL Network, and they were saying that Joe Mixon could potentially be the next Le'Veon Bell, that they are expecting huge things from.
Did they see what Kareem Hunt did last night? Because I don't know.
I think special right now. The clip I saw was from earlier in the week, but they're saying that the Ravens are going to have a hard time containing Joe Mixon, that this guy, he stutters steps, he kind of freezes the defense and can you know, just have a blast of energy and just start running down the field. So, Joe Mixon, what do you think? Is he going to be a big threat against the Ravens?
I think so, man. He's going to be as big of a threat as we faced here recently, and I think if we don't take him lightly, like I said, we're in for a long afternoon on Sunday, because you're going to go, why does this guy have 100 yards and 2 touchdowns against us? Why can't we stop him? You just got to contain. And I feel like our weaknesses are on the outside, where he's going to want to get a sweep pass and take it. And that's, I think, watching the preseason, watching our defense, we're good in the middle. You run up front, you're not going to get it through there. I'm sorry, you're not. But I feel like if they take it outside the hash marks and the numbers and the sidelines, and I feel like if they do these sweep plays and get it around the edge, Mixon's going for a touchdown, and I feel like that could really easily happen. And that's our weak spots. So we have to contain.
What do you think? Is he the next Le'Veon Bell?
I can't really say that much. Again, it's great to compare players, but let him be the best Joe Mixon he can be. And it's really hard to dub him that. Now you can say that for Zeke because of what he did last year.
Right.
You know, he's a beast. So, I mean, he's up there. I mean, if it wasn't for the suspension, which now it's just breaking news, he got a restraining order. So now he could play the whole year. So it's all hearsay at this point. So, but I feel like if he wasn't hurt, he was the number one pick in the draft, not Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson alternating 1-2. It's an Ezekiel Elliott. And in what he did, I mean, you seen what he did last year to Steelers. You seen what he did to a lot of teams. He made them hurt. And he's a beast. And beast mode's like that too. Marshawn Lynch in Oakland. You know, it seems like it's like Jamal Lewis used to be. The longer the game goes on, these guys get better. And that's what that was said about Zeke last year. And Le'Veon Bell's in another league. But I feel like the Ravens, when they play the Steelers, he doesn't do what Le'Veon Bell does. He actually looks normal because it's a divisional game and we key on that. And we're very prideful against the run. He hasn't really hurt us that much. I think his best game, I have to go back to the rings, but correct me if I'm wrong, I can't believe he had any more than 2 touchdowns. If he got 2, he got lucky. And I feel like he hasn't rushed for more than 120, 130 yards. I feel like it was like maybe a little over 100 yards and a touch, but I feel like we've kept him in check. But yeah, Joe Mixon, I wouldn't say, I don't know how big he is. I mean, I have to go back and look, but I feel like this guy's more finesse back. Le'Veon Bell is more the bruiser back. So we'll see how it plays out. But if it comes up that he's second coming to Le'Veon Bell, we got 2 of them in the AFC North. We got to play them 4 times a year. It's going to be tough, bro.
All right, Josh. I think we've come to that part of the show. Have we covered everything?
Before I say the quote with the Raven nevermore, we actually didn't. I know you didn't see it last night, but I wanted to update everybody who has, and I know the NFL season is here. Rejoice. I actually played a snippet of the Christmas song. It's the most wonderful time of the year because it is the most wonderful time of the year. You can get your pumpkin spice lattes if you're a coffee fan. The trees are changing colors around here. It's windy. It's a little chilly. Summer's gone, and football is here to stay for the next foreseeable future until at least February. So right now it's the last weekend was the last Sunday without football until February. Enjoy it. Every Sunday is going to be fun filled. But for those who didn't see last night, the Patriots are losers. They lost last night. The defending Super Bowl champs lost the game, bro. And not only did they lose, but they got waxed in the last quarter of the game. Put this way, and I tweeted this, and I want to back this up. I don't know if you saw some of my tweets last night, but the Patriots went up 7-0. They could have very well went up 14-0, but if it wasn't for a couple of plays here or there. But there was a time they were in the red zone, and they went for it on 4th-and-1. Now, it was a run. Kansas City snuffed it out. I tweeted at that point, and my goal was to say I love the aggressiveness because I feel like the Ravens, and my dad agreed, the Ravens, every time they're in the red zone, they don't get it. Even if it's 4th-and-inches or 4th-and-short, they feel like they just rely on Justin to kick 3. But what happens is last year our defense couldn't stop people. They would go down, score 7, and it's the only difference of 4 points. I said, I'd rather go for it, not get it, back them up, and get them. Hey, if we go 3-and-out, get the ball back, then the momentum's back on our side. But I feel like I just felt like the Patriots are the more aggressive team, and with Belichick and all that. But the Patriots were up 21-27 in that game. It was a great game, back and forth. It was a close game at halftime. It was 17-14, if I remember. And 2 big plays later, and they took off. And let me just throw you some stats out here, man. There was over 300, I think it was close to 350 yards thrown and 4 touchdowns, and the other one thrown for how many yards and 0 touchdowns. Guess who that stat line was?
Who's that?
Alex Smith threw for 4 touchdowns. Brady had a big goose egg. How about that?
Wow, really?
Yes, but I will say this. Mike Gillespie, that guy that got from Buffalo, took those goal line carries. And it's becoming a thing where, and I've seen this, Brandon Cooks, they tried to stretch the field, but I wanted to just hone in on this because, again, the only time we're seeing the Patriots is in the playoffs because we don't play them in a regular season, which is very weird. But if you look, there was – and me and my dad were talking about this. There was a couple of times – there was 2 plays, actually, where the Patriots threw it up in the end zone. It was pass interference either right on the goal line or in the end zone. Ball's placed on the 1. Patriots hand it to the running back, and there you go. I mean, not that stats matter. In fantasy, it was fun. I had a few players there. You know, I had a few Patriots. I had Gronk. I had Chris Hogan, didn't score any. But if you look at it, the Chiefs gave you the formula to beat it. And what I wanted to hone in on this is the AFC, before we even allowed them to play the Bengals, Brandon, Ravens Nation, listen, the AFC is wide open. The Patriots are vulnerable. And look at this. The Patriots defense led up 45 points. last night.
Wow.
45 points they gave up to a Alex Smith-led Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt. And these dudes are a beast. Kareem Hunt, a rookie, had over, you know, depending on what league you're in, close to 40 to 50 fantasy points at once last night. Tyreek Hill going into his second year. The Kansas City Chiefs started out with a bang, and they proved the formula to beat New England. Brady looked frustrated. He couldn't get it to Gronk, couldn't get it to his receivers, couldn't get it to Cooks. There were several drops out there, and Brady was frustrated. I seen that same look when he played us in the AFC title game when we went to win the championship. We were in his wheelhouse, and we made him pay. We were in there putting pressure, putting him off his spot, and he gets frustrated. When you frustrate these guys, you win the game. And that's why I want, if anybody missed the game, go back and watch the highlights. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. The AFC is wide open, and this gives us excitement, and it gives us hope because, look, the Ravens don't win the AFC North. They got to get in as a wild card team because there's nobody in the AFC right now. You look at the NFC South. Tennessee takes that division with all what's going on in that. AFC West, maybe the Chargers, maybe the Raiders, you know, the Chiefs. At one of those, two of those three teams might make the playoffs. AFC North might be one, maybe a two-horse race. And then you have the Patriots, who probably will storm it back, as we know, probably win the next 15 games. But what happened last night was all awesome, was unprecedented. It was great to hear the silence of New England fans that, hey, you know, you guys aren't all that in a bag of chips, man, because got to line up and play to your opponent. Did you take them lately, get all excited that you got your fifth rings and all that? Hey, that was last year. Hey, it was a great Super Bowl. Great Super Bowl 51. Great comeback. I enjoyed it. It was awesome. You know, whether it was Patriots winning or not, from a football standpoint, entertaining Super Bowl. Probably as entertaining as ours with the whole lights going out and the Niners coming back and how that Super Bowl was. But, again, it was very awesome, very, very shocking. But it was a great way to send tremors through the AFC and through the NFL. Hey, any giving Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Friday, whatever these guys play, line up, because if you're not prepared and you're not ready, you're going to get snake bit. And the Ravens, they got the formula to do it if they can break havoc. And with that, Brandon, which brings me to my point, my friend, is quote the Raven, nevermore. Raven season premiere the call. We got it.
All right, just a few hours away, look at it that way, from Ravens-Bengals. So if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. You can also check out cool videos and photos and anything else we can find that we like. We will be sharing with you guys over there. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show, write us an iTunes review, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to the call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. If there are any Ravens fans in Florida or any of the areas affected by this new Hurricane Irma, please just know that our thoughts and prayers are with you. If you have family down there, make sure checking on them, make sure that they are okay. You know, we saw what happened in Houston, and this hurricane just looks absolutely devastating. So please, if you're in Florida, I have a friend, my friend Pat, and our friend Zach from the Baltimore Sports Report are down there with their families. Please, guys, be safe. Do what you have to do, you know, and just don't test this storm. And go, you know, if you have to evacuate, do whatever you can. But just everybody, our thoughts and prayers are with you down in Florida. Hopefully the storm comes through and there aren't any fatalities or anything like that. But if you're down there, be safe, everybody.
Brandon, man, thanks for suggesting. I was definitely going to close out the show with that. If there's any of our call listeners out there, you know, hold steadfast. It's definitely dire straits. It's definitely nothing to take lightly. I feel heartache and pain for all that he's got to go through. I know several people who've already left and are safe up here, traveled abroad, drove, flew, whatever. And I know people that are staying, especially in West Palm Beach. I don't know if she listens, but give a shout out to my friend Christina. She's a great Ravens fan. I talked to her today. She's actually being hunkered down in West Palm. They're not leaving, and they're being very brave, and I really really hope that they ride it out and they beat this. And we've been praying that this thing goes and pivots out, but it doesn't look like it. It's going to hit them straight on, and I'm just really I'm just really focusing on all my thoughts and prayers down there. It's going to change everything. Couldn't imagine. And not only that, but you have to figure, depending on how it looks, Dolphins play right there and what their season might look like and the impacts and the fans. And, I'm not saying, bringing that up, saying football is at the forefront of that, but this is going to have ripple effects for years to come. And Houston alike, and now with Miami, it's just, we have to pull together. And no matter love and hate, you got to put that aside. Love your teams, hate your teams, rivalries. We're all here as one. And, I wish we can do more from up here. What if we could? But whatever you are, if you're able to get through it and ride it out, I just really can't say enough. But just a lot of positiveness, positive thoughts and prayers down there in Florida. Stay safe. We'll be monitoring up here. And if there's anything that if you hear anything from the call listeners out there, if you know anybody down there, or if you're listening and you're safe and sound, please tweet us. Please Facebook us. If there's a way we can get you connected to watch the games or keep you updated, we appreciate that. If you can reach out to us, just make sure you're safe and sound and your families are safe. And I hope everybody got out if they do. And Brandon, it's just a tragic thing is going on around here. And it's a great way to wanted to end the show on that. And with that, I just wanted to wrap everything up. And everybody, season premiere 2017 Ravens. Can't get more excited right now. I mean, it's right here. It's right here for the taking. I mean, we already seen the Patriots fall. And everything's right there. We're healthy right now. No major injuries on both sides of the ball. The goal is in front of us. We know what last year felt. Me and Brandon were there. Bittersweet ending. We were there together on that fateful Christmas night when we got excited and exploded with joy when Kyle Juszczyk crossed that goal line. And then the agony of defeat when we fell to our knees to watch Antonio Brown stretch that football and dash our Christmas night and our playoff hopes for 2016. But wipe the slate clean. New players, old players, retired players, new faces, fresh faces. No matter what, we had the best 53 players on the field. We have the best coaching staff, the best owner, one of the best stadiums, and we can't wait to get it started. 1 o'clock, Cincinnati AFC North matchup. Baltimore Ravens fans, Ravens Nation, gear up, because we're about to fly high into Cincinnati.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.